Good morning to one and all. The subject of today's message is the danger of staying spiritually young. As we are aware, not only the young are getting aesthetic treatment to look young, the elderly also are fighting the effects of gravity with injections, facelifts, and a range of other cosmetic procedures to look younger, or to reverse the signs of aging, or to break the spell of aging. So this aesthetics industry is therefore booming as more and more people from young to old are trying to stay young. So when people say age is just a number, it may not be true for many people. People want to stay young, if possible, forever. But what about staying spiritually young? There's this danger if we are to stay spiritually young. So much so that this writer of Hebrews raises the red flag in the passage that we have just read. So this writer of Hebrews halted in his discussion of the high priesthood of Christ after the order of Melchizedek in chapter 5, verse 10. And he intends to deal with this topic of this high priesthood of Jesus at great length all the way to chapter 7. Therefore, here we can see a glimpse of the writer's concern and disappointment with the Jewish Christians during his time. And when he mentioned of whom we have many things to say and heart to be uttered. So what he is expressing is his disappointment that he has many things to speak to them and many things to tell them about this glorious Jesus, the glorious foreshadowing of Jesus in the Old Testament. But it will be very hard to explain to them. Hard to be uttered means hard to make clear or explain to them. So the writer of Hebrews saw that they are avoiding their spiritual responsibility in their spiritual progress, especially when they lived in a world that persecutes them and holds them in contempt. So they are swayed to, or the Jewish Christians are swayed now to the work-based salvation of Judaism. And in a sense, they denied Christ if they were to compromise with Judaism, and they denied Christ that he is better than the angels, better than Moses, and better than Aaron. So they were denying Jesus to be superior. So this writer of Hebrews sees the need to reprove them. In fact, the passage that we have just read is the third warning to them in relation to the Word of God. And where were the two first warnings found? First, it was found in chapter 2, whereby he warned them of slipping away or backsliding or drifting away. And the second warning is found in chapter 3, and whereby he warned them of their unbelief in their hearts. And so today will be the third warning to them that they are not to stay spiritually young, but they ought to, as pilgrims on this side of eternity, to progress in the faith. Otherwise, to stay spiritually young is perilous to them. So there are three lessons that we can learn today. And the first lesson is that the danger of lacking diligence to understand God's word. When we stay spiritually young, we will lack that diligence to understand the Word of God. And now we look at verse 11. It says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. So the writer, as I mentioned earlier, had many things to say to these Jewish Christians of the depth of the glorious teaching of Christ's priesthood, which is after the order of Melchizedek. But it was a challenge for him to do so, to speak and explain to them, because of their spiritual immaturity, he desires to get them back onto the spiritual track with Christ. However, the cause of this problem was not the subject matter itself of the high priesthood of Christ after the order of Melchizedek, not the subject matter, nor it was the writer, but the Jewish Christians themselves. So what was the diagnosis of their spiritual state or condition? They were spiritually immature. A spiritual heart scan of them reveals, as what verse 11 says, the latter part of verse 11, "Seeing ye are dull of hearing." It means seeing you become dull of hearing. And what is this being dull of hearing is? It's not a problem with the physical ears, but a problem with the heart. The heart has turned lukewarm or cold towards God Himself and His Word. And this results in them, the Jewish Christians, of being dull in hearing. And so what does the word dull mean? In the originals, it means, if you were to explain the word itself, it means no push, no push. And so it means more than lacking interest in the subject. It actually means being slothful, being sluggish. And this same word, dull, is translated in chapter 6, verse 12 of Hebrews. If you were to turn your Bible to that, in chapter 6, verse 12, that it says that ye be not slothful. So the word slothful is the same word as dull. So they were lazy to understand the word of God. So the Jewish Christians, they are more concerned of what is going to happen to them and not what God wants of them. So they were rather being contented and complacent. And here we can see the little word, the word are in verse 11. They are dull of hearing, and it is in the perfect tense, which means that they were not always in this state before. They were once keen on hearing, ready to learn once, but over time, over the months and years, they lacked the diligence to understand God's truth. They became lazy. They have no response to God's words, and their minds have wandered off on something else of lesser values. So the word are actually means become. They become this way, but prior to that, they weren't like that. So they were not like the Berean Christians, as mentioned in Acts chapter 17, whereby they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures those things were so. So they were not like the Berean Christians, eager to learn and striving to know the depth of God's word. So their spiritual conditions reminds us also of the Christians in Galatia, whereby they were also being lured and tempted to follow the Judaizers. And Paul called them as bewitched, and for believing in another gospel, a different gospel, because they went into legalism. And Galatians 5:7 says, "Ye did run well, who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth?" They ran well before, but now they are not obeying the truth. So it's a very serious matter for the Jewish Christians in the times of Hebrews. They were focusing on themselves so much so that they neglect Christ, and they were lazy, and therefore they were being spiritually immature. So how many of us would be in this category, being dull of hearing. There is much to learn and much to receive from the Word of God. The Word of God gave us so much light concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought to treat the Word of God as like a garden, and with flowers that are blooming and fair. And the Word of God is a deep, deep mind for us. So when you first got saved, were you excited to learn the fresh truths of God's Word? And we have catechism class for young believers, and they were very excited about the course, the subjects that they are learned. But we pray that as the years go by, they will still have that excitement. But for all of us here who have been Christians for a very long time, have your excitement died down? Are you dull of hearing? How is our heart today? Are we being impeded by the busyness of our lives that we do not go to the Word of God to plumb the depths of God's Word? You may blame everyone else. You may blame the preacher. Yes, the preacher has his weakness to be able to speak with clarity and eloquence about the things of God's truth, but the murmuring heart that we have may be a grievance to God, especially when we are so accustomed to the preaching of God's Word, to the style of delivery of the person, that sometimes we just switch off. When it comes to sermon time, we just switch off and we do our things. We take our phones and we read our phones, the articles from our phones, and we even, as what one preacher here said, do online shopping during the sermon time. And we are so familiar with stories in the Bible, and so much so that we will always think, I know that story. There's nothing much to learn. So this is happening also in the children's ministry. Sometimes when I teach and I mention a Bible story, for example, I say, all right, children, today we are going to learn David and Goliath. Are you excited? No. I've heard it before. Their reason? I've heard it before. So they tune out, and then they begin to be fugitive, and they will be interrupting the story. So are we like these children? Sometimes as preachers, we struggle to preach sermons during Christmas, during Easter, and even Good Friday, because the response of the congregation is, I've already heard this before. So it's a great struggle for us to preach during these events. But we are not to be like that, to be dull of hearing, lazy to understand the Word of God. So don't blame yourself. Don't blame everyone except yourself. Sometimes we hear people say, I learned nothing from this sermon. It's so boring. I learned nothing at all. So may the Lord help us to examine our hearts. Every message that is preached from God's Word has a lesson for you. So you ought to prepare your heart. Don't rush into the worship service and being late, but try your best to be punctual. Take time to pray before worship. Ask the Lord that you desire to at least learn one lesson from the Word preached today. Ask the Lord to take home one lesson after you leave this sanctuary and apply it into your lives. And the Lord will bless you richly if you were to do so. So may you not turn away your ear from hearing the Word of God, and continue to strive to understand the Word of God. And so this is the problem with the Hebrew Christians, the Jewish Christians. They lacked the diligence to understand the Word of God. They were dull of hearing. So what is the next lesson? The next or the second lesson is the lack of a proficiency in God's Word. And we proceed to look at verse 12. It says, For the time it ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. So verse 12, you could almost hear the writers sighing for the Jewish Christians. They are dullness of hearing God's word, and their impediments of their spiritual progress has caused him to be disappointed in them. They lacked this ability even to teach God's word due to the lack of proficiency in God's truth. And so every Christian becomes capable of instructing others when he or she has a grasp of the basics of Christian faith. And the basics of Christian faith is basically the gospel, why and how we are saved, the holiness of God, the fall of man, the sin of man, the need of a savior, the virgin birth, the deity and humanity of Christ, and the bodily resurrection and ascension of Christ. All these are the basics of the Christian faith. And so whether you have the gift of teaching or not, instead of being communicators of God's truth, the Jewish Christians were not able to teach these things to others, to impart this truth to others. And so it's unlike what 1 Peter would want us or all Christians to do so in 1 Peter 3:15. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So these Jewish Christians had been long enough to understand the word of God and long enough and ready to teach, but they have forgotten even the first or elementary principles or basics of the oracles of God. So the oracles of God are the Old Testament scripture and the sayings of Christ, as according to Hebrews chapter 1 verse 2, that the Lord has spoken, the Son of God has spoken. And therefore, they could not understand these principles that points to Christ himself, especially when he was in this subject of the high priest called Melchizedek, and Jesus is after this order of the priesthood of Melchizedek. So they need to be taught instead. So the writer now is not done reproving them, because he reproved them that they are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. So the word are become implies that they have degenerated. It speaks of their degenerated condition. And they were young in faith, and now the years have gone by. They are still young in faith. They are still drinking milk, and they did not grow past the infant stage. They are stunted spiritually, and therefore they cannot grasp the simplest biblical doctrines, because in the first place they were dull of hearing. They have no interest in knowing about the Word of God and the God of the Word. And so they need someone to teach them the basics, the ABCs of truth, over and over and over again. Are we therefore today in danger of lacking in this proficiency in the Word of God, even the basics of God's Word? You know, Bible illiteracy has gone up, especially there's a statistics survey in the United States that was done many years ago. So in the United States, they discovered that 12% of adults believe that the Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. So the Joan of Arc was actually a defender of France in the 15th century. And they thought that the Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. And 50% of high school students or secondary school students think that Sodom and Gomorrah were husband and wife. And they believe that the Sermon on the Mount was preached by the evangelist Billy Graham. And 82% believe that God helps those who help themselves is a Bible verse found in the Word of God. So you can see Bible illiteracy has gone up. And they have not known even the basics of Christian doctrines. And how about us? Do we lack this proficiency? I'm not asking all of us to be Sunday school teachers, to be Bible study leaders, but we should at the least able to impart Christian truth to others, to tell others about the faith that we believe in. And any Christian, whether we have the gift, spiritual gift of teaching or preaching or not, is qualified to impart useful Christian doctrines to others. I know of a story which I mentioned before many years ago at this pulpit. There was this group of young men who were playing basketball in the seminary's basketball court. And so an elderly cleaner was reading the Bible while waiting patiently for the game to end. So after the game, one of the young men said to the cleaner, "What are you reading, sir?" So the cleaner said, "I'm reading the book of Revelation." So the young man said, "Revelation, isn't it very hard to understand? Do you know what it means?" So the cleaner looked at him and said, "Yes, I do. It means Jesus wins." So you can see how even this cleaner, elderly gentleman, was able to impart this simple Christian truth that in the book of Revelation is all about Jesus' victory over Satan, over sin. So never, never doubt ourselves that we are able to impart this truth. Never say that, "Oh, I do not know the Bible. I've not gone to Bible college. I've not been in the Bible study. And I may not know the Bible. So I zip my mouth and I don't want to tell others about the Christian truths in the Bible, about the Word of God." So we know that a servant can even teach a master. A child can even teach a parent or a grandparent how he or she should live. And there's one testimony a few years back about a grandma who came to believe in Christ. And why she came to believe in Christ all these years of resisting the gospel is when her grandson, who had gone through the Sunday school, the children's ministry, that this grandson spoke to the grandma and said, "Grandma, if you don't believe in Jesus, you will not be saved." So these words struck her heart, this grandma's heart, and caused her to ponder of her own life, the remaining years of her life and the life after. And the Lord opened her heart and she came to know Christ. So even a child can impart truth to an elderly grandmother. So never, never doubt that we can do so. And especially for fathers here, we have no excuse not to lead our family, and for husbands not to lead our wife in the Word of God. And as for fathers, as we lead them in the Word of God, we are not transferring religion to them, but transferring the relationship with God to them. Transferring this relationship with God to them. And so it's very, very important for us as fathers to bring the Word of God to our children. So every Christian ought to therefore make spiritual progress, and we ought therefore to fellowship with one another and also in God's Word. So every Sunday, we have the Sunday school. Besides these sermons that are preached here, we have the Sunday school for you to learn about the Word of God. And we also have the ERBL courses that we are in the midst of it. And July, we are going to start another two courses in ERBL. And we also have the NBCs, the Neighborhood Bible Communities. We have the fellowship groups, the LTF, YF, LF, Men's Ministry, and the Senior Fellowship. So every one of us can go to any of these groups to learn together with Christians, with saints, on the Word of God, that we may not lack in the proficiency of God's Word. So it's not just about head knowledge. Once we learn God's Word, pray that the Holy Spirit will help this knowledge to sink into your heart, that it may be a heart knowledge to live up for Him. As I mentioned, the dullness of hearing, the lacking in proficiency, is all about the heart. Person may be very knowledgeable, but his heart is not right, it may not be of good use for the Lord. So learn how to digest and live out the Word of God in your heart. So therefore, we have learned the first lesson. They were lacking in diligence in the Word of God, in understanding the Word of God. The second is lacking in this proficiency in God's Word. And the last lesson I would like to give to you is the lack of skills in applying God's Word. So we now come to the last two verses. It says, "For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, but strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So this is the last lesson of the danger of staying spiritually young. The writer indicates everyone, right? Indicated for everyone in the first part of verse 13. And that includes him. So here we can see the writer's heart. He not just point a finger at them, he was pointing to himself and reminding himself too that he ought not to use the Word of God unskillfully. So if Christians were to use milk or partake milk or to drink milk only, he is unskillful. The word unskillful means lacking in knowledge, inexperienced, and unacquainted in what? In the word of righteousness. So they were this word of righteousness means the completeness of knowledge. So one who remains on the milk diet and not on solid food lacks in skills in applying God's Word, and it won't lead him to anywhere. And this is contrary to what God desires, what God desires of every child of His. And Colossians 1:28, Paul said it here. It says, "Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." So that's Paul's desire, that when the word is preached, he may present every man complete, mature in Christ Jesus. And that's what Jesus Christ wants each and every one of us, that we may grow and mature in Christ, and that we may truly understand what God wants of us each day, and that we may be wise in our living, a light for Him, a salt of the earth for Him. So here we can see that the Hebrew Christians were not doing all this. And this was happening also in the church in Corinth. In 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 to 3, Paul also addressed their spiritual immaturity and reproached them. And he says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal or fleshly, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" So the problem was they were very carnal, walking in the flesh and not in the spirit, and it is a symptom of spiritual immaturity. And so milk is definitely good for babies, as what 1 Peter 2:2 says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." But it is not right for us to continue to drink milk only. Of course, with aging, sometimes we have to rely on milk only, protein milk, full-course milk. But for natural development, for growth, we have to take solid food in order to be strengthened, to grow. So, but these Jewish Christians were unable to know the depth of God's word. They were not willing to dig deeper into God's word. They were just scratching the surface of God's word. And the Hebrew writer says that this person is but a baby, a babe. So these words for "he is a babe" means that is in the present active tense, means that he is at the present a babe, and in reality he's a baby. There's nothing delightful of being a baby throughout our spiritual life, but we ought to realize the tragedy that if we don't mature spiritually, we will remain a baby spiritually. And that will cause much problems, not just in your own lives, but as a church. Because as what Paul says to the Corinthian churches, when there's immaturity, there'll be envying, strife, divisions, there'll be carnality, and that causes the church to weaken. If every one of us strive to mature, you know how strong the maturity, how strong the faith we will have, how strong the church will be, and we'll be all ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why in verse 14, the writer of Hebrews says, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age," and so strong meat belongs to them that are mature, and they have by reason of use have their senses exercised. That means that they have the ability to make moral decisions, ability to understand, and the word exercise means gymnastics, and equates in mental and spiritual training and discipline. And all this is to help us to discern between good and evil. So the Jewish Christians are dull of hearing, they are lazy, slothful in understanding, they are not proficient in handling the word of God, therefore they lack this discernment. And so the outcome, the consequence, they become emotionally and spiritually gullible. They are most vulnerable to spiritual scams. They will follow whatever snake charmer who comes on the scene. And so there's no discernment between good and evil, truth from error. And they will be doing what the Apostle Paul warned the Christians in Ephesus not to, in Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So they are spiritual babies, and we know spiritual babies, they will put anything in their mouths, even their own toes, and they are undiscerning of the winds of evil influences, And today we are exposed to many, all kinds of good and evil in the social media. We listen to sermons on YouTube, on Spotify podcasts, and from the internet, on all kinds of platforms. We are listening to all these sermons, but there's a danger of swaying, being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. So it's very dangerous. And there was this elder of a church who only believed that the Old Testament and the red letters of Jesus are God's word, and the rest of the New Testament is not God's word. And therefore, he was disciplined. So it can happen to an elder of a church. It can happen to any one of us. So we have to be very, very discerning. And that comes with not being lazy, not being slothful and dull of hearing, not lacking in our proficiency in the Word of God, and able to apply with skillfully the Word of God in our lives. So, my brothers and sisters in Christ, today, always remember that God wants us to grow in Christ. It is not the other person's responsibility to do so. It is you. You must grow in Christ. You must take the effort to grow in Christ as much as you take the effort when you were young to eat well and exercise well, to grow strong and healthy. So today we ought to do the same in a spiritual way. So are you having godly wisdom, applying what you have learned from God's word in your life? Are you able to discern well all the winds of doctrines, the good and evil? Or are you just a spiritual baby staying spiritually young? So God does not look at the outward appearances. You may be the best person on Sunday, but remember, God looks at our hearts. He knows whether you are stagnant in your spiritual life, or he knows whether you are growing. So there's a great danger to stay spiritually young and being spiritually immature. Let us not, therefore, be dull in our hearing or understanding of God's word. Let us not lack in proficiency in God's word, able to impart truth to others. And let us not lack in wisdom to apply God's word and be discerning the good and evil. So may the Lord help us that we may start taking strong meat today. Take strong, solid food today. And so may the Lord be gracious to us to give us that desire even to obey his word. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we come before your throne of grace, knowing that we are weak and feeble, and there are many things that have distracted us from this high purpose, high spiritual purpose of growing maturely to be sanctified by your word. So may you be gracious to us to delve in your word daily and to plumb the depths of your word to study, and that you have given us these means through technology to access, through commentaries and through books. So may you help us, Lord, to grow in Christ. So, Father, we do pray that you help our church to be a strong church, and that every one of us will take this responsibility to obey you because we love you. So we pray that our church will be ready as a pure virgin bride for the Lord's coming for us today, and that our light will not be snuffed out, and that we will always send forth your light and your truth to others. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.